This is SiriusXM Doctor Radio.
Direct from the NYU Langone Medical Center, here is pulmonologist Dr. Frank Adams.
Good morning, Dr. Frank Adams on SiriusXM 81, Doctor Radio. It's great to be back with you on Tuesday morning, our live show. We're live every Tuesday from 6 to 8 a.m. Dr. Radio is all about you. It's a collaboration between the NYU Langone Medical Center in New York City and SiriusXM. And the idea for the last 5 years, in fact, has been to get you thinking about health, get you healthier, talk about some exciting new things. And in our first segment coming up in a second, we're going to talk about smog eating concrete, something to do about air pollution. It's quite an exciting finding that's coming from the Netherlands. We're going to be talking directly to someone in the Netherlands in just a moment. And as you know, as a lung specialist, I often am talking about air pollution and air quality. We'll get to that in just a second. For people out there who have not listened before, the show depends on your calls, your participation. That's the reason it's been so successful. So if you have questions about air pollution and what this concrete eating smog can do, best thing to do is to call in or to write us. The toll-free numbers to reach us this morning, 1-877-NYU-DOCS. That's also 1-877-698-3627. Email us at docs@siriusxm.com. As I said a moment ago, I'm a lung specialist in practice on the faculty here at NYU Langone for many years, police surgeon with the NYPD. They really are New York's finest, and I love what we're doing right now. And people say to me, you know, Frank, you're on a little early in the morning. It's hard to listen to you. And I like to counter that quickly and say, well, we are replayed. If you can't hear the live show from 6 to 8 a.m. Eastern Time, get us on a replay later today or throughout the week. There are a couple of replays. Even better than that is SiriusXM On Demand. So like many, many on-demand services, you can sign up and listen to this show and many other shows from SiriusXM at your own convenience, your own schedule, on your tablet, your PC, your Mac, your smartphone. How do you find out about this? Go right to the SiriusXM website, www.siriusxm.com. There's a free trial, 30 days, internet radio. You get SiriusXM On Demand. Look at the schedule. Find out more about Dr. Radio, and we hope you'll find it helpful to you in getting healthier. That's the message. As I said this morning, in a moment, we're going to talk about smog eating concrete to help with air pollution. So no better way to start the show than we do every week with what we call the state of the air. Actually, that is also a phrase from the American Lung Association. There is an app called State of the Air by the American Lung Association, which will give you your air pollution readings in your own zip code. We like to start the show, unfortunately, looking at the cities in this country with the worst air quality. And we're highlighting the worst air quality to get you thinking about what you have to do to talk to your representatives about tightening up the standards for air pollution. Unfortunately, these cities are often quite frequently in the top five, and going to start in fifth place with Detroit, Michigan, Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas in fourth place, Chicago, Illinois in third place, Ann Arbor, Michigan, second. First place today, and it hasn't been there for quite a while, is actually Ketchum, Idaho. Now, the reason for that is actually there are wildfires burning, unfortunately, in that region of this country with tremendous smoke. It's quite unhealthy in all of those cities for people with sensitive lungs, unhealthy for everyone, children, adults, if you have asthma, COPD, heart disease. What do you do? Well, you have to avoid the outdoors, unfortunately. Reduce your time exposed to these air pollutants. Quite often they're related to traffic and smog, so you want to minimize your time during the rush hour. It can be very difficult in these cities. And again, we must make our standards for air pollution much better. Now, no better way then to lead into a discussion of new techniques, perhaps, to reduce air pollution. And there's one that's quite exciting that we just read about coming out of the Netherlands. And to find out more, we're going to talk directly to Professor Joe Brouwers, who's on the phone with us from the Netherlands. I want to say good morning to Professor Brouwers.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Dr. Radio. I want to tell our listeners, if they have questions for Professor Browertz, call us at 1-877-NYU-DOCS, 1-877-698-3627, or email us, docs@SiriusXM.com. Joe Browertz is a full professor in the Department of the Built Environment at Eindhoven University of Technology. That's in Eindhoven, the Netherlands. And this is such an interesting thing, Joe, about sidewalks and smog. Tell us how this idea to make concrete digest or absorb, you'll tell me actually what it does, how this idea got going.
Well, the idea is actually from Japan. It's also patented in Japan about 20 years ago. And the idea is that you can use a so-called photocatalyst. Most often titania is used for that, titanium oxide. And under the influence of UV light, this titania, as the name says, it's a photocatalyst, starts to convert nitrogen oxides into nitrogen salts. And also sulfur oxides will be degraded. And also volatile organic compounds, VOCs, will also be degraded by this process. So that is the basic principle. So you need daylight, a UV component in it. You need actually for activating this catalyst. And then it starts, as you call it, eating or converting these nitrogen oxides, sulfur oxides, and VOCs.
I see. And actually, I'm amazed that this actually, did you say for 20 years has been?
Yeah.
Has been used in Japan? And,
yeah, not in use. It was invented.
Invented, okay.
But the application step takes a little more time, and it has been used, I think, this technology for water treatment and also for air treatment. Some tests have been done. But it has not, as far as I know, scientifically, it has never been, there's never been good evidence if it would work in an outdoor situation. And that is what we have tried in this project that has been published that you are referring to. But actually, we are doing this research for, let's say, 8 years now. And we first started by developing this concrete on lab scale. So two PhDs, Dr. Hunger and Dr. Huskin, worked on it. And on lab scale, we developed recipes, concrete recipes, with this titania in the right amount, because this titania makes the stone slightly more expensive. Mm-hmm. So we developed optimum formulations where this titania is dosed and applied in an optimum fashion so that we have the highest degradation rate that we can measure in our lab, first on lab scale, for the most affordable price, you can say, most efficient way. That was the first research that took 4 or 5 years about, mm-hmm. and that ended also in two PhD studies from these both gentlemen, Huskin and Hunger. And then we wanted to make the step to an outdoor test to prove it in reality, because we saw, and actually still, I did not see real good showcases of this technology. So we selected very carefully a street in the Netherlands, where you don't have much dispersion by the wind, because if you have dispersion by the wind, then simply your pollutants are already brought back to background concentration. Mm-hmm. So we looked for streets with a street long enough, narrow enough. The street itself was 7 meters wide, and then we had sidewalks of about 1.5 meters, 2 meters wide on both sides, and then we had the houses at both sides. And in this street, we paved not the sidewalks, only the main road. Mm-hmm. We paved with this concrete over, let's say, 100, 150 meters long with active stone developed in our lab, but produced by a company, because it was, of course, much larger quantities were needed for that street. And another 100, 150 meters, we paved with blank stones. We call that the zero street. And then we performed measurements in this street. We developed also a very careful measurement plan, mm-hmm. measurement strategy. And then we measured in these streets with two analyzers for NO, for NO and NO2. And we let them run parallel in both streets. And also we We also let them run parallel to each other. We did all kind of cross checks, and we measured the NO2 concentrations in both trees. Well, we analyzed that data because you see a lot of peaks and a lot of fluctuations during a day when you measure. We analyzed this data, and then we saw that on during the measurements, on average, we measured in total 26 measurement days. And we noticed a degradation of, over the whole day measured, between 20-25%. And if you only look in the afternoons, when the sun is strongest, when you have the most UV light, we measured an average reduction of, I think it was around 40 or 45%.
That's very striking. Joe, let me tell our listeners just for a second, because I know they're just joining us, so they may not have heard the beginning, that we're talking with Professor Joe Brouwers from the Netherlands, actually the Eindhoven University of Technology in Eindhoven, the Netherlands. We're talking about a research project that became reality when taking from the laboratory to the street. Concrete that had been treated with titanium oxide, which, as Professor Brouwers is saying, is a photocatalyst able to convert nitrous oxide and volatile organic compounds, VOCs, to less noxious materials. And he's talking about the result, and he was just saying that, and I'll ask you to repeat, that there was a 45% reduction. What was the 45% reduction in, Joe?
In the when you only look at afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And when you consider the whole day, it was around 20-25%. And we also measured in this before street modification as a reference. And there we measured in both three sections almost no difference. So then, as expected, then it was really 0% the difference before modification. So that we have as a reference.
All right, and I want to tell listeners, if this idea has gotten them thinking and they have questions about treating concrete to treat our problem, which is throughout the world, worldwide, mm-hmm. in some countries, worse even than the United States, I'm thinking about China and Beijing, and call us with questions and ideas at 1-877-NYU-DOCS, 1-877-698-3627. You can email us, docs@SiriusXM.com. You're listening to Sirius XM 81. This is Dr. Radio. And Joe, I'm confess my ignorance, but what is pollution like in the Netherlands? Is it as much of a problem as it is in other parts of the world?
We have regulations, maximum mm-hmm. levels for nitrogen oxides, NO, NO2, mm-hmm. and they are set by the EU, in European Union, in here in Europe, mm-hmm. also for our country, for the Netherlands. And in some cities, the major cities in our country, Amsterdam, The Hague, Rotterdam, Utrecht, at some days during the year, several days during the year, these maximum levels are exceeded.
Yes. And, here in the United States, we're always fighting back and forth with the fact that our industries are asking for leniency, or they're asking for loopholes and allowing pollution levels to be higher. Mm-hmm. And it's always a battle between industry and government. And in many parts, as you may have listened to at the beginning of the show, every week I start off with cities in this country that have air quality that is actually unhealthy for everyone or unhealthy mm-hmm. for individuals. So ideas like this certainly are extremely attractive. You mentioned cost. Is it prohibitive to think that if you treated not only one street, but many streets, would that be a problem in terms of cost?
Mm-hmm. Well, from a strategic point of view, if you would like to limit nitrogen oxides and also sulfur oxides, the best way is to avoid the emission of them. Eh?
Yes.
So to treat the stack gases. Well, industry and these sulfur oxides, nitrogen oxides, they are generated when you burn fossil fuels mm-hmm. for producing electricity or in industrial plants or whatever. And the best way is to avoid the emission of them. So to here it's quite standard for big installations like power plants to remove them. So to wash them out of the gas, right. and by that you get nitrogen. I've forgotten the name. Nitric acid you get then, and the gypsum is produced as a byproduct, and they can be used then in other production or other applications, and then you're not emitting these gases into the air. That's the first, the best strategy, or the first line of defense that you should take.
Right.
But locally, in streets, with this you can lower the background concentration in a country or in a region. But locally, because of traffic, in cities usually then, the concentrations can exceed these maximum levels because vehicles emit, and they do it on a small surface in a limited area. And there, in these cities, at some days in the year, the levels are exceeded. And then you have to look for local solution to locally there remove these nitrogen oxides. Well, one way is to also to restrict the emission to have more strict emission standards for the vehicles.
Right.
Also, that is going on. But even then, because also the air quality regulations are becoming more and more stricter, because we accept lower and lower concentration levels that are acceptable. Still, levels will be exceeded. So even if vehicles become cleaner, we will still have in busy areas an overshoot of the concentration. And then you could consider to locally apply this pavement or painting or coating on facades or on streets or whatever to address this problem.
Do you think this is going to become more the reality as time goes on? And will it be in the Netherlands or other parts of the country, of the world?
Well, it is a solution, but there are several things that still need attention. One, the results that I previously mentioned are based on 26 days. Environmentalist, health specialist prefer, and that's normal, more evidence and more measurements. So that's what we recommend. It's one of our recommendations to repeat this experiment, but then during a longer term and with continuous measurement stations, because we used our lab equipment in the street. So more evidence is needed, but if this would be positive again, then I don't see why this could be a technology that can be locally applied to address a local problem.
Do you any problems as time goes on? Does this have to be reapplied? Anything in that area?
Well, if you apply this technology on facades, then a coating could work. We are developing coatings, paints with this and even an outdoor project we will probably soon start with a paint that has this feature. If you apply it on a horizontal surface where you have traffic wear, then you can better mix it in the concrete, in the top layer of the concrete, because then when the surface layer wears off in time, there will always be new titania available on the surface.
I want to tell listeners again, this is Dr. Frank Adams. This is Sirius XM 81. It's Dr. Radio. We often talk about health and getting healthier. We often talk on this show about air quality and air pollution. And this morning we're talking to Professor Joe Brouwers from Eindhoven, the Netherlands, about research and studies that he and his group have done applying titanium oxide, which is, he says, is a photocatalyst. So when UV rays or sunlight strikes it, it has the ability to convert noxious pollutants like nitrous oxide, sulfur oxide, volatile organic compounds into non-noxious materials. And he's gone with his group to apply it to a street in the Netherlands with some striking results. And we're talking with him. And if you have ideas or questions about this, we'd love to hear from you here on Dr. Radio. I'm going to give you the toll-free numbers, the email address. Call us 1-877-NYU-DOCS, 1-877-698-3627. Email us docs@SiriusXM.com. I think it's important to point out all of the problems related to air pollution. This is the list would go on and on. We need a lot more time to talk about them, but documentation of respiratory disease, vascular disease, more heart attacks when pollution levels go up, increased blood clots, problems related to women in pregnancy, possibility of malignancy related to air quality, air pollution. We could go on and on. So this type of research that Professor Browers is doing is so fascinating to us and hopefully will lead. And we have an email from Larry. Larry's writing us from Delaware, and he says, a very interesting discussion this morning. He said he missed the first part of the conversation. He's wondering, are the chemicals and materials used, Joe, are they safe for the populated environment? So any problems related to titanium in terms of safety for man or for beast, any problems at all?
No, not at all. It's a harmless mineral. It's even used in toothpaste, perhaps even in food. So chemically, it's harmless. Usually, it's used as a very fine powder, like cement-like or even finer. So when you apply it in production, if you use it in dry form, then you should be careful not to inhalate it, but that holds for all powders. And if you apply it as a slurry in water form, then there's no danger at all. So it's when you use it in dry form, you need to take the same precautions as with working with any other duster.
Okay. So, Larry, it's a great question. We're glad you're listening to Dr. Radio. And in terms of safety, there's no problem. And also want to reiterate what Professor Browers said a moment ago, that the primary approach, of course, would be to decrease the production of these pollutants with standards in industry, vehicle emissions. We all know that this progress has been made, but it's often quite slow and difficult and often resisted by major industry. And that's why techniques like what he and his group have been working on are so fascinating. Joe, we think about cities like, in this country, you think about L.A., Los Angeles, but Beijing has had a lot of negative, publicity about its air quality, its pollution. A city like that, which is so severely polluted, would this be of any value in that type of a city?
Well, I think also there, my first recommendation would be to avoid the emissions of these gases by the big industries. That would be the most efficient and also the most cost-effective. And that would then you can reduce the background concentrations in your country or region, city, whatever. And then with this, you can make the biggest, in the most efficient way, you can make the biggest step. And then for remaining problems in smaller areas, concentrated problems in cities, where locally the concentrations can be much higher than this background value, there you could think about applying this method.
All right. And we have an email again. It's wonderful to see that people are listening this morning to Dr. Radio and this fascinating topic. Andrea writes us from Atlanta, and I think Professor Browers has maybe touched on this already, but Andrea asks, is there any research or projects on expanding this type of coating on other surfaces other than sidewalks? So has it gone beyond the street level, I guess, at this point, Joe?
Yes. So we investigated the pavement, concrete pavement for the street. It is also possible to apply it on in concrete for sidewalks, of course. That's basically the same technology. Then it's also possible to apply it in let's say, in anti-graffiti coatings, which are transparent and often applied on vertical surfaces. We also developed such a formulation and tested it in the lab. Mm-hmm. And then paints can be applied with this technology. We're also working on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware about roofing materials where this technology has been applied. Hmm. Vertical and tilted roofs.
Have you had much interest from governments outside of the Netherlands or companies in other parts of the world?
Yes, companies, yes. And some also, not really governments, but mm-hmm. Authorities, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Joe, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on Dr. Radio. Just the mind just leaps to visions of buildings and cities that have this type of a photocatalyst applied to their infrastructure and hopefully improving the environment. And we hope your work will continue to be productive and successful, and we hope we can catch you back here on Dr. Radio and with any updates.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. May I add one word?
Please, please do.
Well, I've mentioned the two PhD researchers who did the lab work as preparation for the field work.
Right.
Well, the field work was done by a postdoc, Dr. Ballari, which I would like to mention here, not to forget to mention.
Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate everyone's efforts. And, again, we're going to have you back here on Dr. Radio. Thank you again, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Dr. Frank Adams on Sirius XM 81 talking to Professor Joseph Brouwers from the Netherlands about this very striking idea that's gone into application of applying a material to concrete in streets and potentially on buildings and rooftops and other places to act as a catalyst to change noxious pollutants into non-noxious pollutants. And he's demonstrated that it works in one street. And obviously this is going to take more time and money and effort to be applied, but it raises the possibility of doing something to the cities throughout the world. And pollution is not one country. It's not even one hemisphere. Wherever air travels, pollution travels. So it's a worldwide problem, and we appreciate the information from Professor Brouwers. And as I said, we're going to have him back. This is Dr. Frank Adams on Sirius XM 81. It's Tuesday morning, our live show. At that point in the show, we take a mandatory, just a three-minute break. And then we're going to come back with some more emails. We had already had two wonderful emails this morning. We're going to come back with some more emails. We're going to be talking about a number of different things. We're talking about bronchiectasis. We're going to talk about non-tuberculous mycobacteria. We're going to talk about economy class syndrome. I'm not going to tell you exactly what that is, but economy class syndrome. That's all coming up in the next segment. Do not go away. This is Dr. Frank Adams, Sirius XM 81. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Radio, Sirius XM 81, and on the Sirius XM app for smartphones.